Word of mouth.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, this is Word of Mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott. According to the Department of Education, the number of kids being homeschooled nearly doubled between 1999 and 2007. A majority of parents who chose this route say they do it for religious or moral reasons. Now, members of the first generation of the Christian homeschooling movement that took root in the 1980s are speaking out about their experiences. The website Homeschoolers Anonymous is a place for posting about trauma and abuse experienced in some subcultures of the radical homeschooling movement. Michelle Goldberg, senior contributing writer for Newsweek and The Daily Beast, wrote about the topic. Michelle, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, a little background first. When did the Christian homeschooling movement really begin, and how has it evolved?
Well, there's obviously been people who were taking their kids out of public schools for a long time, but it's only been since the 1980s that it's become a real badge of authenticity within the Christian right. I mean, the Christian right itself really got its start only in the late 70s. And then the Homeschool Legal Defense Association, which is the kind of main organizational body of the homeschooling movement, was founded in the early 80s.
Okay, so we should also mention that this site, Homeschoolers Anonymous, is focused on people who survived and went through the Christian movement, so not all homeschooling
experiences. Right, this is not about all homeschoolers. Not all homeschoolers are Christian fundamentalists, but this is about, but it is true that a majority of people who are homeschooling their kids in the United States are part of the Christian right, and this site deals just with the education their education and their experience.
And these people are now adults, as you know, write in your article about they probably entered into the homeschooling system in the 80s when things were in kind of just beginning. And there were a couple of different programs or curricula or methodology. Could you go through just a couple of those for us?
Well, there's a couple, I would say, I mean, there's a couple of different, there's many different curricula, but I think that there's different levels of extremism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so on the one hand, you have a lot of homeschooled kids who are going to Patrick Henry University, which is a college for homeschooled kids that's located in Virginia. And the idea is to put them, it's run by the same guy who started the Homeschool Legal Defense Association. The idea is to get them into leadership program, leadership positions in government and law, et cetera, so that they can kind of Christianize the culture. And they exist on the far right of the American political spectrum, but not on the far right of the homeschooling spectrum because, you know, Christian Patrick Henry University is co-ed. It admits women. That's actually not something that some of these homeschool parents are willing to accept. Within the homeschooling subculture, there's a subsection called the Quiverful Movement.
Mm-hmm.
They believe in a very extreme and authoritarian version of patriarchy. They often don't believe that women should go to college. They don't believe that girls should be prepared for any education, for any kind of any pursuits beyond a life of being a housewife, bearing as many children as they can, homeschooling those children in turn in order to kind of take back the country for Christ through sheer power of numbers. You know, if you think about the Duggars, that family on TV with 19 kids and counting, that's a Quiverful family. And so some of the kind of most harrowing stories are girls who are raised by families who pull them out of school and then refuse to educate them for any kind of a future beyond, you know, they don't have the skills then for a life beyond the kind of very narrow parameters that their parents set for them.
In fact, you speak to one woman who did go through this, survived the Quiverful movement. She was told that she would not go to college, that her role was divinely ordained to be a helpmeet to her mother until her own marriage, to then sexually satisfy her husband and bear as many children as God would permit. Tell me about what she told you about her experience.
Well, what's interesting is that she was actually, when she was 15, was quoted by World Magazine, the Christian magazine, as being an exemplar of this kind of movement because she, you know, kind of parroted her parents' ideology back to them. She talked about how her idols in life were Jesus Christ, her parents, and Ronald Reagan. Mm-hmm. And then she turned 15. Then she turned 18. And the day that she turned 18, she ran away from home. And she actually, with the help of her boyfriend and her boyfriend's family, who are also conservative Christian homeschoolers, but not as fundamentalist as her own family. You know, so she got married, and then she slowly, you know, out in the kind of outside of the ideological bubble that she had been raised in, began to doubt a whole host of the beliefs that she was raised with, and now I think really struggles with whether she even considers herself a Christian.
We're talking about recovering homeschoolers. Michelle Goldberg is with us. She's senior contributing writer for Newsweek and The Daily Beast. And she wrote about a website where adults who say that the experience of homeschooling left them traumatized, psychologically scarred, and that they want to educate people on the methods of some of the subcultures of homeschooling. Well, Michelle, this is a thing, you know, the trauma, heavy charge, specific stories of abuse, of withholding. Is this driven, however, by parents or a curriculum, you know, the Quiverful movement? What do you look at when you see this?
Well, I think that the Quiverful movement and some of the other curriculum or some of the other movements within the homeschooling movement, the Advanced Training Institute, they can maybe suck some well-intentioned families into a subculture where extremely authoritarian methods are the norm. So you'll hear from some of these kids. You know, their parents kind of started out by taking them out of kindergarten because they didn't think they were getting a good education, or, you know, other people at their church were doing it, and, you know, they were afraid that their kids were being kind of indoctrinated into liberalism in the public schools. But as they get deeper and deeper into the subculture, then they kind of start, you know, falling under the sway of some of these really extreme ideologies, you know, some of these extreme ideologies or extreme curriculum. And soon it becomes, you know, if you're a really good homeschooler, then you're going to train your daughter to be, you know, submissive. Or mm-hmm. if you're a really good homeschooler, you're going to have, you know, 8 or 9 children. So some of these kids are the oldest, and their parents kind of didn't get into the Quiverful movement until later. So at first it was just them and maybe a younger brother and sister, and then a few years later they had kind of, you know, 6 or 7 kids in a row.
Well, what I'm interested in is, like, what are their examples? What are their charges of? What is authoritarian? What is extreme behavior?
You know, I think I would say to go to the site, because there's a whole bunch of different examples. Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the biggest ones that you hear over and over again is just kind of not teaching these girls anything, you know, basically having them spend their day taking care of their younger siblings instead of getting any kind of an education, you know, whatsoever. But there's also, you know, extreme control in which you're kind of not allowed to have any sort of contact with the world outside this ideology. I mean, you know, forget about dating. You're kind of not allowed to have friends who, you know, whose parents don't subscribe to this ideology. You're not allowed to read books. It's a very kind of a self-contained ideological bubble. And then there's also on the site, there's a lot of stories of physical abuse, and it's important to understand that within the subculture, physical corporal punishment is considered, you know, kind of a necessary tool of God's will. So the subculture encourages corporal punishment, and the line between corporal punishment and physical abuse is both a kind of an individual but also a legal question.
Well, as you mentioned, girls had it very badly, but of course you talk to other people, men. There are many stories by men who've been through this as well, including a man named Ryan Stoller, who's a co-founder of the site. He was also a great debater, and that's kind of one interesting aspect of this, that these people were raised to be sort of rebels, to rebel against society, to proselytize, to be able to debate, to fight. And now turning their fights, you know, toward the movement that spawned that.
Well, and this is, to me, one of the great ironies of this story. I mean, the homeschool movement has always placed a lot of emphasis on teaching kids how to debate. because the idea has always been that you're going to train these kids as basically ideological cadres and then set them loose to kind of Christianize the country. And in order to do that, they have to be able to engage with the culture at large, and they have to be able to, you know, they have to be able to kind of go beyond just Christian apologetics or take their Christian apologetics into the realm of politics. So, you know, Patrick Henry has one of the highest rated debate teams in the country. And a lot of these kids were trained to, you know, they were trained to engage with the secular world as kind of intellectual warriors. And what the people who kind of created these debate programs and created this movement never really reckoned on is these kids learned using some of the analytical skills they had learned in debate against the movement that spawned them, you know, and kind of using some of their using these skills to think through and ultimately reject the ideology that they've been kind of that's been drilled into them over their childhood.
Michelle Goldberg, senior contributing writer for Newsweek and The Daily Beast. Thanks so much for your time.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
You can read more about the Homeschoolers Anonymous movement and go link to it and read some of the stories for yourself. The links are at wordofmouthradio.org. Now, coming up, we're going to hear an entirely different motivation for homeschooling when Word of Mouth continues.